Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, that you want us to call you Daddy, that you want to be close to us, that you desire that intimacy with us. And you call us by name into that place. And we just pray, Lord, today, as we open up your word, Lord, that our hearts will start to burn anew with that passion for you, that passion for that intimacy. And Lord, that you would help us to start hungering again and thirsting again for you. Lord, take away the lethargy, take away the contentment, and just grow in us. Lord, just fan into flame again that passion for your name, Lord. So we just say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Wake us up in mind, but also wake us up by your spirit within us, Lord. Just stir us up today, Lord. And may you just speak through this message today to bring breakthrough and conviction and encouragement. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So I've been doing a series, I'm not sure if I've come to the end or not, we'll find out next time, on this whole area of how do we remain a flexible wineskin, which continuously holds the new wine, being stretched in new ways by the Holy Spirit. And this is a picture that is found in the Bible of a wineskin which was like made out of leather, that is flexible, with new fresh wine, and that if you put new wine into an old wineskin, the old wineskin has just gone like hard leather and it's not flexible. And when we're talking about new wine, we're talking about the things of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the new wine, is what the Bible teaches us. And this is the thing of, as a church, as we keep moving forward, are we remaining flexible? Are we remaining in that position of moving with what the Holy Spirit is doing today and tomorrow, not just what the Holy Spirit did yesterday and in the past? And that question of what is God doing today, and are we willing to stretch into the new things of God? And just a very brief summary of what I did previous weeks is we looked at how we need to keep to letting go of the past to step into the new things God is doing today. And that we may need to burn bridges like Elisha did in terms of burning his plow, and that, so that there was nothing to go back to. Because if there is something to go back to, guess what? When the going gets tough, there's a nice avenue back to what that was in the past. And we can look at that past with rosy spectacles. Whereas God is saying, no, I am doing something new. It is a new season. And that's the question for us today. Are we willing to step into those new things? And how we need to keep taking those smaller faith steps to build up our testimony of God's faithfulness so that we can increase those faith steps as a church. You know, a church, we would not grow if we didn't keep taking faith steps. You know, we first of all met in our home. We took a faith step to actually open the door of a public venue at East Old Village Hall. We took that step. When COVID hit, I removed all the gear for me, Salford-ish Hall, and I was like, we're not going back there. In my spirit, I was just like, that is no longer our home. That's too small. Yes, COVID has hit. Therefore, we're going to be growing. And we're going to move into the next venue. And we move to Northern View. And that started to get too small for the Way kids. So it's like, we moved to the next place. And as I said last time we were at the beach, that is the only venue we're going to keep. Okay? Because other than the tide, there is nothing stopping us from growing on the beach. But it's faith steps. And we looked at the story of David, and when before he took on Goliath and faced the giant, he said he faced the lion and the bear. And that was his testimony of God's faithfulness in the past. He looked back and said, God has been faithful on these faith steps. Therefore, we can take on the giant now. And I don't think we're quite at the giant yet, church. But we are taking those faith steps that are ever increasing. Like even taking on this building for Sunday mornings was a faith step financially for us. And God has come through. We would never take the faith step of a bigger venue before we took this faith step. It's taking the faith steps and growing so that we have a testimony so that we can face and slay the giant. And the last time I spoke, I looked at this whole area of that God is into addition and multiplication, whereas the enemy, Satan, is into subtraction and division. And how God calls us to invest to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And how God wants us to give away what we have so that it can be multiplied. And that's why last time I spoke, we commissioned Ben and Rachel onto the core leadership team of the church because we're aware we are not into grasping hold of leadership. We need to give it away so it can multiply. And guess what? The four of us can do a heck of a lot more than what myself and Jen can do by ourselves in the core leadership. And that's going to keep growing as we keep growing as a church. But it's scary because it means it's not all about me anymore. Praise God. So today I want to share about the next thing that I think is important for us to keep flexible and to keep growing. And I want to talk about holy discontent. Holy discontent. A number of weeks ago, whilst we were here, I was praying and I was worshiping. God was moving. And, you know, I was stood here and we're having that time of waiting on God. And I just felt waves of his spirit, just wave after wave of his love and of his spirit moving. And in the spirit, I could hear crying and weeping and people engaging with God and just one of those powerful moves of God's spirit. And yet in the physical, only a handful of people seem to be coming forward and responding. And I was just like, I am not content with where we're at. I'm desperate for all of us to be desperate with having that passion for God, of crying out to God, of getting on our face before God, of crying out and saying, I want more, God. I am not content with where I'm at. I'm not content with that little nice feel-good factor. I'm desperate for more of God, more of the power of God at work in my life and working through my life. And not just my life, but our life as the church. And guess what? If we lose that desperation, if we don't have that desperation, we're not going to keep growing. Because God will not be bringing his, saying, these people are hungry for me. And therefore, I'm going to pour my spirit out on these people because they're desperately hungry. And they're willing to lay their lives down for me. Where are you today? I also keep walking around Berwick and this area, and I see men, women, and children. I'm in the supermarket, and I'm just looking and thinking, these are people who God loves, whose heart is breaking for these people. And these people are dying without knowing Jesus. And they are going to be eternally separated from God's love because of that. And I'm looking and thinking, these people are people who, you know, should be part of one of the churches here in Berwick. Part of Waypoint Church. Look around, we've got so many seats and we can have more seats out. And if we fill this, let's plant more churches, let's grow, move into a bigger facility, whatever it takes, let's just keep growing, because each one of these people is somebody who doesn't yet know Jesus, who's going to die in that place of separation. Are you passionate about that? When you go to the shop, are you passionate for the people around you? Are you desperate for God to touch their lives? Or is it, I'm okay, thanks. I'm a Christian. My family are okay. Jesus has paid the price. He stretched out his arms on that cross for each of those people. The price has been paid. And not only that, but God has commissioned each one of us. A number of years ago, I had a dream. And I saw, as in, I'm not sure if it's exactly this place, but it was something very similar. And I was coming to the entrance. And as I was coming to the entrance, I could sense other people being drawn and joining. And as I got into the foyer, I just felt the presence of God like a cloud that was so intense that I couldn't even stand. And I ended up on my hands and knees crawling towards the sanctuary. And in the sanctuary, I could hear this weeping and wailing and crying of people desperately crying out to God and meeting with God, and just laughter as people had met with God, and just amazing things. And I knew people were being healed and restored, and just amazing things. And it's one of those like scenes of a revival of people face down on the ground in this whole area. And I was like, I need to be in there. And I was struggling to try and crawl through because of the presence of God was so weighty. There's so much more. There's so much more, church. And I don't know about you, but I am so wholly discontent with the status quo, with where we are today. It is not enough. And if we get content, guess what? We'll start dying. I am discontent with what I'm currently experiencing of the Holy Spirit, of how limited and powerless I feel. Yet knowing there is so much more, I desire it, I yearn for it, and I know God wants me to have that. But not just for me, for each one of us. Isaiah 64, verse 1. It says, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. Are we crying out for God to rend the heavens, to tear open the heavens and come down? Isaiah, it goes on in verse 7, yet no one calls on your name or pleads with you for mercy. Therefore, you have turned away. Are we calling out to God? Are we pleading with God? Or are we those who are falling away? Are we pleading and crying to God to come in his mercy and move in power and transform hearts? The only way we're going to be the flexible wineskin that keeps growing is not by being complacent, but to keep increasing our hunger for God. Tozer puts it this way, and Tozer warns us with this: spiritual complacency is more deadly than anything the devil can bring against us in our upward struggle. Do you know that? If you're feeling under spiritual attack, fantastic, because you're doing something right. If you don't feel under spiritual attack, I'd encourage you, start hungering more for God, and it'll start coming. Be prepared for it, but it'll come. Because God, the enemy, will only attack those who become a threat to him. If you're not a threat, then, you know, you can be left to one side. Holy discontent isn't automatic. It only comes through glimpsing what could be and desiring that more than any other alternative. Hear that? It only comes through glimpsing what could be. Have you glimpsed what could be in this area? Have you glimpsed where we could be as a church? And are you desiring that more than any other alternative? It's not settling for God's good over God's best. It's not settling for the outer courts when we could be dwelling in the inner sanctuary. Amen? Are you seeking the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, that place where you are coming face to face with the eternal God? Or is it okay just to sit in the outer courts and just think, you know, I can hear it, I can observe it from afar, but I don't really need to get too close because it may actually impact my life. Psalm 27, verse 4 says, one thing I ask from the Lord. One thing. One thing. This only. See that again. This only. One thing. This only. Is this guy thinking about other things? One thing I ask from the Lord. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple, in his sanctuary. What is the one thing that you are seeking after, church? What is your soul desire? What alone will satisfy? Or who alone are you seeking to gaze upon? Are we getting distracted a bit? Are our priorities getting a bit screwed up, church? One thing I ask of the Lord. One thing I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, not just today, but all the days of my life, to gaze, to have my eyes fixed, not getting distracted by other things, but fixed on the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple? Are we yet seeing the fullness of God working through us with signs and wonders? Jesus said we would do even greater things when we're in that inner sanctuary, when we're seeking him first and him only. John 14:12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. They will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Are we accepting less because that is what our experience is? Or are we going to seek them more because that is what God has said? John Bevere puts it this way, does your confidence rest in what God has said or is what you see and or in what you see and experience? If you measure everything by what has happened in your past, you will never grow beyond it. Are we growing up, church, in the things of God? Are we taking those faith steps? I've mentioned a number of times a friend of mine, Pastor Moyer, out in Zimbabwe, whose desperation was that he wanted to see God raising the dead. He'd taken the faith steps. He'd seen the cripple be made whole. He'd seen scales drop off of somebody's eyes who was blind. He now wanted to see God raise the dead. I'm not yet at that stage. Don't know about you. Who's queuing up? But why are we, church? Are we taking those faith steps? God's desire is for us to yearn for more. God does not want us to be limited by our history. There's a great character in the Bible. If you've got your Bible, turn to 1 Chronicles 4. And I'm reading 9 to 10. And it's the story of Jabez. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. The name Jabez, what does it mean? It means pain. It means grief. It means sorrow. He could have allowed his name to define him. What is your name? What is your history? Rejected. Outcast. Mistake. Inconvenient child. What's the hashtag on your name? What's your history? Pain, suffering, let down, abused. What is your name? Forgotten, isolated. What is your name? What is your history? Other people may have authored our stories up to now. Maybe an ex-partner, maybe parents, maybe just simply life circumstances that have been pretty awful. Instead, Jabez did not accept his history. He sought and asked for more. He did not want his history, his birth, what his name was, to author his life any further. He wanted a new author for his story. And my question to you today is, do you want a new author for your story? The author of life himself, Jesus. Are you going to accept Jesus to be the author of your story and bring life into your story going forward? And God granted his request. Jabez changed his story and had faith to ask for something greater. And my question to you today is, where are you? Are you going to ask God for more? And that is him becoming the author. God wants us to desire a spiritual inheritance. He wants us to ask for more. Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. James 4:2-3. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you do ask, you don't get it because your motives are wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. It's motivation, but it's asking. What are you asking for? Is it for your own pleasure or is it to extend God's kingdom? Psalm 2:8 says, ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Wow. When faced with persecution, what did the early church ask for? Acts 4:29-31 says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders for the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They did not back down and say, woe unto us. They said, we want more, God. We want more of you so that we can have the boldness to take this world for you. They asked for more and they were filled to overflow. Listen to this prayer, Ephesians 3:16-20. I'm using a bit of a paraphrase here. And it says, and I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with a divine might and explosive power. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions, how deeply, intimately, and reaching is his love, how enduring and inclusive it is, endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Wow. Amen. Are we wanting that, church? Are we wanting that overflow in our lives? Are we asking for the more, or have we settled and become complacent and content? There's a famous poem I want to just briefly read, and it's attributed to Sir Francis Drake, a famous sailor. And it goes like this: disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true, because we have dreamed too little. Have you dreamed too little? When we arrived safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas, where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. Today, are you asking for more? Are you going to let go of all inhibitions and seek God's face? Are you desperate for more of the Holy Spirit? Are you thirsty? Are you seeking after the overflow? There is more. Are you allowing other people to be the author of your story? Or today, are you going to invite the author of life to remaster your story into something that is beautiful? There is more. Don't wait on others to lead you. Let the barriers down. Let's come forward and let's actually receive the living water today. Let's be desperate. Don't be the one or two people looking around thinking, oh, that's going to be somebody else who's going to respond. Be the one who leads the way. Be the one who's desperate for God. Be the one who gets down on your face before God. Be the one who lifts your hands in praise to God. Be the one who cries out and weeps to God for more. Because God wants to meet with you today. James says in the book of James, draw near to God. And the author of life himself will draw near to you. Let's do that, church. And let's seek him.